रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीतायाः पतये नमः. सुंदरकांड चैप्टर नंबर 59. मारुति टेक्स काउंसिल विद हिज फ्रेंड्स. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. Maybe it seems to you good that all of us proceed to Lanka, overthrow Ravana, and take back the Lady Sita to the presence of Rama and Lakshmana. But you must not forget that the efforts of Lord Raghava and the enthusiasm of Our Majesty Sugriva can bear fruit only through the wifely loyalty and devotion of the Lady Sita. Words are too poor to give expression to the devotion that fills my heart towards her. It may occur to you to say, well then, how is it that the wretch Ravana still counts himself among the living, even after he had laid violent hands upon that lady of boundless might? Do you know that the king of Rakshasas spent thousands of years in stern tapas, such as could not even be dreamt of by others? As a reward, he is endowed with limitless might, valor, and splendor. It is nothing to him to throw his shield over the countless worlds and keep them away from harm and evil. And should he give way to a fit of anger, those very worlds would crumble to dirt. This is why he has laid his foul hands upon Sita and is not yet consumed to ashes. But I would not have you conclude that her wifely devotion has been barren. She has but to give vent to a slight feeling of indignation, and the fire of destruction pales before it. Her lord and husband is there to take care of her, and she would take upon herself nothing unless he so wills it. She would have her husband crowned with the fame and glory of the slayer of Ravana, and she would go through untold dangers and difficulties to bring it about. I see no other motive. Now I have rendered you a faithful report of my mission. Should Jambavan and the other elders decide that we should present ourselves before Rama and Lakshmana with Sita, I heartily agree to it. Allow me to submit that I, alone and unaided, can make short work of Ravana, his Lanka, and the Rakshasa creation, and this before the eye has time to wink. But I know full well that you are heroes strong beyond count, unmatched in spirit and courage, masters of every weapon known to man, god, or asura, resolved to win and fail not. Now, if I should elect to work with you, it is useless to speculate about the result. It is but child's play for me to destroy single-handed this Ravana, his brothers, sons, followers, and his armies. I will shatter the magic weapons shot by Indrajit, and none other can even raise his eyes to the weapons of Brahma, Indra, Vayu, Varuna, and the other gods. I am mighty enough to confuse the heart of Indrajit. A never-ceasing downpour of rocks from my hand is enough to wipe out even the celestial hosts from the face of the universe. And these Rakshasas are nowhere before me, need I say it. I wait for a word from you to deal death to them, and all in sport, as it were. Now the oceans may flood the world, Meru the mountain may tremble on its seat, but who has ever heard of any foe or foes that could disturb the equanimity of our venerable Jambavan on the field of battle? Again, this, our prince, the firstborn of Vali, is by himself equal to dispatch the best and the bravest of the Rakshasa heroes to the halls of death. The speed and the rush of the winds that are emitted from between the thighs of Panasa and Nila as they course through the sky in their flight is able to reduce the mighty mountain Meru to a heap of dust. The mountain Mantara will follow suit. Do you speak of the Rakshasas in the same breath again? Mainda and Dvivida, the matchless twins, have never yet come across anyone that could stand up to them among the orders of gods, asuras, yakshas, gandharvas, uragas, and garudas. No one has yet measured their might. Find me their equals in all the worlds. The Lord Brahma has granted them the boon of boundless strength and energy. Have they not drunk the waters of immortality? In the far past, Brahma wanted to please the gods, Ashwins, and granted them the boon. These know not death at any time from any hands. It was enough to fill their hearts with pride. They destroyed the armies of the gods and wrested from them the heavenly ambrosia to drink thereof. Take your case here, every one of you. These two have but to get excited, and Lanka and everything it holds is gathered to the dust. I have done somewhat towards that. The guardian deity of the town has been vanquished. The major portion of it has been burned to ashes. The names of our lords Rama and Lakshmana and of myself, their humble servant, have been shouted along the high roads of the city and made a word of terror to the Rakshasas. I rode out to them this message. Neither in strength nor in prowess nor in might has the world seen the equal of my lords Raghava and Lakshmana and of Sugriva, over whom they have extended the shadow of the protection. It is still ringing in their ears, my words of defiance. I am the messenger of the Lord Raghuvira of the royal line of the Koshalas. Hanuman am I known to the world. I am the firstborn of the Lord Vayu. I will recall to you the fact that the daughter of the royal sage Janaka sits in despair at the foot of the Simshupa tree in the Ashoka grove of Ravana. Dim and dull even as the moon behind the cloud banks, hemmed in by cruel Rakshasis, gulfed in the depths of sorrow and grief, the bare earth is her bed. Yet she counts as nothing that Ravana, so haughty, so terrible in his pride, endowed with matchless grace of form and feature, that paragon of wives is cast endurance vile by Ravana. The beloved daughter of King Janaka, the royal sage, the head and fountain of everything good and auspicious, she leads a miserable life there, with her heart full of the thought of her husband, even like the lady Sachi, torn away from the hands of her lord Indra. Her hopes and joys are all centered in him. Clad in but a single garment, her lovely hair woven in one shapeless braid, her fair form covered with dust and dirt, lean and emaciated from grief and privation, she expects with an eager heart the moment when her Lord's arms will be crowned with victory. Will the time ever come when my Lord will deal to Ravana the death he so richly deserves? Will I ever see the hour strike for the deliverance from my grief and sorrow and misery? I saw with these eyes the frightful Rakshasis taunt, insult, and threaten her in her lonely home in the Ashoka grove. Single-braided, despondent, her heart ever with Rama, dull of hue, the bare earth her only seat, she presents to me the appearance of a lovely pool of lotuses, black scorched, worn and ugly through the cruel autumn heats. Ravana ceases not his prayers, his entreaties, his persuasions, but her heart never inclines towards him in the least. Resolved to quit her hold on life, she casts looks of appeal on all sides, like unto a frightened fawn. And these eyes beheld her in that plight. It was no light work for me to make her confide in me. I spoke to her and acquainted her with everything that took place after she was taken to Lanka. It gave her joy to hear the friendship between Raghava and Sugriva. She stays her hand from Ravana, though his offense towards her is something awful. And it is because she is a devoted wife to Lord Rama, and it would dim the bright wifely loyalty with which she is crowned. And Ravana may count it as the result of his past good deeds. So our Lord Raghava must deal death unto him and no other. The Lady Sita is but the distant cause of it. When I come to think of the strength, the might, and the tapas of Ravana, I am certain that the Lord Raghava will slay him using the Lady Sita, but as a means to the end. Slight of form by nature, the Lady Janaki has grown leaner yet, like unto the learning of him who recites the sacred word on the first day of the fortnight. Now I have laid before you as faithfully as I can a picture of the grief and the misery that she is going through every moment. It is upon you to seek the means to put an end to them. Mangalam Poshlendraya Mahaniya Gunapte Chakravarti Dhananjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.